with me today in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. Our topic today is the necessity of Christ intercession. The necessity of Christ intercession. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save us to the uttermost, or to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Let's pray. Father, take your word today and apply it to the hearts of your people. We do pray that you would encourage us as we see what is going on even now as we're gathered together in your name, that what is taking place at your right hand, that your Son as our high priest is interceding for us even now. May he be honored today and we receive the benefits from it. In Christ's name, amen. He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, seeing as how he ever lives to make intercession for those people. Now, what is meant by the term save in the text? Salvation in Christ occurs in three ways. First, he saves us in justification. And secondly, he saves us in preservation. And thirdly, he saves us in glorification. Three stages of salvation. The word save means deliver. So that in our justification, he saves us from the penalty of sin. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. The believing person has a perfect standing in the sight of God because Christ has justified us. He saves us in preserving us from the power of sin in our daily lives. And thirdly, he saves us in glorification, in which that he will actually save us from the very presence of sin. So that helps us to remember from the penalty and the power and the presence of sin. All words starting with the letter P. This covers the scope of what the scriptures mean when we talk about salvation in Christ. I believe it was Donald Gray Barnhouse that was stopped at a bus stop. I believe I'm correct in my story. Waiting to get on a bus, and a young girl who was very enthusiastic in the Lord, just a new convert, stopped him and asked him, "Sir, are you saved?" And he said, "Young lady, do you mean, am I saved from the penalty of sin? Am I being saved from the power of sin? And will I be saved from the presence of sin? What do you mean?" Well, she was rather taken back, and so he proceeded to tell her, "I would encourage you that before you start trying to be an evangelist and trying to convert others, you at least understand the meaning of the terms of what you are attempting to do when you explain to somebody that they need to be saved." To save in justification is to deliver from the guilt of sin that is due to the law of God that has been broken. Man is born guilty because he has inherited the guilt that occurred in his father Adam, and that is imputed or charged to the infant's account upon their birth. And man is also guilty in his practice. That is, he has a sinful nature and he comes forth from his mother's womb speaking lies, David states. So that in justification we are delivered from the guilt of sin due to a broken law. And justification removes that. In our glorification, we will be rendered sinlessly perfect and stand without fault in our moral character before the throne of God. We already have a perfect standing, but our character is not yet perfected. And any Christian will at once testify to that. But this matter of preservation necessitates that to keep us from apostasy and falling away back into a previous lifestyle in which that we are lost, we have then an intercessor at the Father's right hand, and it is Christ's intercessory work that prevents that from happening. So it is only those who believe in the regeneration and security of the regenerate individual that really have any basis for setting forth the need of an intercessor. If a person may be saved, justified in a state standing before God one moment and then the next moment fall out and lose that, something happened to their intercessor. And they were left on their own to save and keep themselves saved. But Jesus is our intercessor because he ever lives to make intercession on behalf of his people. So Christ then, by his death, saves us as we are sinners and once were his enemies. Now it is by his life at the Father's right hand as a high priest that he then keeps us saved and from falling away and fall back like those that are in the world. Our text says that he saves to the uttermost. This means to the infant part, to the end, to the last, to the furthest degree. He has the ability to save and to bring to pass the delivery of his people. He saves by his life to the end that those that are justified, he saves them so that they shall never fall away. He doesn't just save them for a day or two or a year or two or a few years and then they apostatize and falls away. He saves to the uttermost. I've always thought it sort of funny that our opponents who believe in the apostasy of a true saint of God actually talk about that saint at one time had eternal life. How in the world do you have eternal life and then the next day it's gone? Amen. That was a short eternity. Why even talk about it? If you possess eternal life this morning, you're in a justified standing before God, and you'll never be any more justified than you are right now. But when it comes to your character, there is yet much that God has to work on. And that's the need of Christ as an intercessor. He saves us from all of the condemning powers that fight against our souls. He never forsakes us. Do you know that the Christian has enemies, not just external ones, that may seek to destroy the hope and the joy, but that the Christian has yet indwelling sin and corruption that he has to contend with, and that God in Christ never forsakes us to those corruptions. He also saves us from the deceptions and the power of Satan, who would seek to separate us from our Lord and our Savior. He also saves us from the oppositions of our minds that are so prone to have doubts and even blasphemies that come into our minds from time to time. Yes, the godless of Christians are exposed to these things of the corruptions of the mind. That's why we need an intercessor, one who's ever lived, whoever lives and is ever sending forth grace to flow from his very being into our being so that we are not consumed with these indwelling corruptions. Now, the benefits. Just exactly why then do we need an intercessor? We have a perfect standing. Is that clear? But our position is not perfected. Rather, our experience is not perfected. Why do we need an intercessor? Because of the imperfections of our feelings. And our feelings are very fluctuating. We may understand that we have a perfect standing before God, but our feelings are capable of causing us to doubt that. Our feelings are up and down. That's part of having an emotional nature as a human being. Even though we know that we are secure in Christ, we feel unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. From time to time we have these things. And Brother Clint, if we did not have an intercessor, these things would consume us. We have someone that is living that helps us in these matters. We have not only an imperfect, rather unbelief, but we have feelings that are filled with fear. There are things that can happen in a Christian life that can cause actual physical fear. If you've never experienced that, you may yet be exposed to it before you reach heaven. So our feelings are imperfect, while our standing is perfect. We are prone to mistrust and to doubt. Now don't tell me you don't ever do that. Just wait until you don't have any money to pay your bills and then look what starts happening in your feelings. Lord, how am I going to pay this? How am I going to do that? Am I going to lose my house? Going in for surgery. Some Christians are able to go through all of that without any problem whatsoever, and others would say, I will never doubt, I'll never question when I go into surgery, and then it happens. It happens. That's the nature of our feelings. Depression, despondency, melancholy. All of this has nothing to do with our standing before God. We're justified. But it has everything to do with our imperfect feelings that we look to. Our murmurings, our pride that we still have to deal with. I think I've told you that we have all kinds of recovering people today. Drug addicts, alcoholics, and the whole 10 yards. I consider myself, I think I've told you this, a recovering Pharisee. What do I mean by that? I'm filled with pride. And I'm an addict to pride. You don't believe that? Just let me come and let me start pointing out all the imperfections I see out here in you people that I know personally. I know this about you. I know this about you. I know this about you. I know a lot of things. And I can see sin in your life to perfection. But I have a problem seeing it in my own life. See that? That's the Pharisee. I'm thankful I'm not as other men, not as this Pharisee. Well, I fast and I tithe. I gave to Jim Gunn's love gift today. Huh? Look at me. Some of you didn't. I don't know whether you did or not. I'm just playing the part of an orator right now, all right? Oh, I can see sin in others. But I'm so often blinded to my own pride. I need an intercessor. I need grace to keep informing me that I'm not yet as my Lord would have me be. My foolishness, my lust, all of these flow from the imperfection of feelings. What about this? I even feel an inclination to leave the very God that I love. That's what the song says. But there are times in which that, how, you say that's an enigma. How can you love someone and yet be inclined to leave that person? That's emotion, that's feelings as such, and they are imperfect. I feel at times that I will faint under trials. Will I hold up under this trial or that trial? There are times in which I grow weary, Brother Clint, in my religious duties. Now, if you won't tell anybody, you promise? There are times that I don't like to go to church. I kept you swear nobody tell that. I wouldn't want anybody on the outside here to hear that the preacher didn't want to go to church. No, there are times in which that my body and my mind are so filled with pain and anguish and coldness that I just soon lay in bed rather than going to church. But what do? I get up and go anyway because it's my duty. It's my duty. I'm not going to be ruled by my feelings. The second reason we need an intercessor is not only because of the imperfection of our feelings, but because of the imperfection of our graces. Did you know that the graces that God gives us are not perfected? That's right. Faith, for example, as I have alluded to, I have faith today, but I don't have a perfect faith. I'm with the man in the Bible. I believe, but help my unbelief. The grace of hope is not perfected. There are some times that I feel that I am cut off from the Lord. Where are you, Lord, in all of this? I don't have any sense of direction. You, my brethren, that are out of work right now, you may be experiencing the fiery darts of Satan. Am I ever going to have a job? It's relatively easy when you have work to say, well, I'm a strong, hopeful Christian. But let some event happen, lose a husband, lose a wife, lose a child, lose a parent, and suddenly hope begins to fade. For the grace of Asa, there are times in which that my love for the Lord is not what it ought to be. Love is a grace that God gives. But there are times when it ought to be as hot as fire, but I feel as cold as ice. That's why we need an intercessor. That's why we are to what? Pray always. Pray without ceasing. To express our dependence upon Christ as our living intercessor. The grace of sincerity is not perfect. As I look out upon my audience today, I see individuals which have given evidence of having a godly sincerity. You served the Lord for many, many years, and I love you and commend you for that in the Lord. But on the basis of the Word of God, and even not knowing you to perfection, I'm also seeing a whole audience of play actors, hypocrites. You know right now there are things that you don't want other Christians to know that you think about and indulge in. You can go to church saying, "Oh, how I love Jesus," but you're play acting at the same time. Oh, me. How in the world can the Lord put up with such people as this? Because He loves us. He loves us in spite of our sin. Where sin abounds, grace does what? It much more abounds. So that when I feel my love growing cold, I need to go fresh to the Savior and say, "Lord, energize my love. Peter, do you love me more than these? Feed my sheep. You love me more than these? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me?" You know, Lord. You know. I'm not going to brag that I'm the best of all the apostles anymore, and though all the others deny you, I'll never deny you. You know, Lord, whether I am play acting or not. Imperfection of our graces, the imperfection of our duties. That's why we need an intercessor. We need an intercessor because our prayers would never be heard if we didn't have an intercessor. Try praying directly to God without Jesus as the intercessor. God would never hear them. He takes our imperfect prayers, and with groanings which cannot be uttered, He presents them on to the Father. Think about that. Have you ever prayed a perfect prayer? Have you ever repented perfectly? No, all of us need to repent of our repentance. Thank God we have somebody praying for us to where that we can pray to the Father through this intercessor. And that makes our prayers acceptable to God. We don't have to come up and write a prayer down that's absolutely perfect. There'll be flaws in that. Thank God for an intercessor. Even our prayers are imperfect. Something else. As you know, Brother Pete, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, you'd never be able to hear the Word of God this morning effectively. It'd go in one ear and right out the other. It would never become effective to your life if you didn't have an intercessor. That's why that before I preach, I have to ask the Lord, "Lord, I've done all this preparation. I've done this. I've examined the text. I've tried to get illustrations. I've tried to bring the best message. I'm going to try to bring the best message that I can. But all is vain unless the Spirit come down. I cannot make any of you any more spiritual than you are right now. It takes the Spirit of God to work through the Word of God to make the Word effectual. You can't just read it. You can't just preach it. Depend upon your expertise, your learning. You have to depend upon the Spirit of God. And without Jesus Christ interceding, not only would our prayers be imperfect, our Bible reading would be imperfect, and our listening to the Word of God in public worship would be imperfect. where we stand in need of Christ. We need Christ as our intercessor because of our duties, in that Satan will not give up his assaults against us. He assaulted Christ right after his baptism in the wilderness. Then the scripture tells us he left him for a season. You may have a satanic assault upon you from time to time, and God may bring you through by restoring your hope and confidence in Christ. And Satan may leave, but it may only be for a season. He'll be back. He'll be back. Remember the account in Job? Satan going about on the earth, the Lord asking, "Where have you been?" "I've been down there on earth going to and fro." "Well, let me ask you a question. Did you see my servant Job down there?" "Yeah, I saw him." "What do you think of him?" "He's the best I've got." "What do you think of my servant Job?" "I think he's a hypocrite. I think he professes to love you only because of the things that you bless him with. You let me attack him, and he'll curse you to your face." God took on the charge. He said, "All right, you can do this and this and this, but you can't do this." And then Job's life started falling apart. Next it was his health. Next it was his marriage. And next it was his friends. To where he feels totally abandoned. Satan doesn't let up. He just continues on. Have you ever wondered what happened to Satan in the book of Job? I mean, when did he leave the scene? We're prone to think it was only after he lost all of his family and his wealth and everything, and then his health, and then his wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Then Satan left at that time because we didn't hear him. Oh no, here's one of the worst ones. That's when his friend showed up. Said, "Job, if you'd quit your sinning, this wouldn't be happening to you." Boy, isn't that what you need? At a time like this, there's the satanic onslaught. False religious advice in times of trials. Thank God we have a Savior, an intercessor who intercedes for us. Satan will not give up his assaults against the saints. And because we sin daily, we would be condemned if it were not for, Brother Bob, the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus that you sang about. It'll never lose its power until we are saved to sin no more. Because we sin daily, we need daily cleansing. And that's what our high priest is there for. To intercede for us and to send forth the Holy Spirit to minister to our imperfected needs in our lives. And lastly, we need an intercessor because he who has begun salvation in us must continue it and complete it. Not our justification, but the ongoing cleansing of our nature until finally we are presented faultless in the world to come with it. Everlasting life that is without sin. Are you glad you have an intercessor?
Amen.
My. Go to bed at night, no matter what my feelings are telling me. Whether I feel like I'm on the mountaintop and having an Uncle Remus zippity-doo-dah day, or whether I feel like I'm down in the valley and I'll never see the sun shine again, I have a mediator, an intercessor, that has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you, Jim. And I have lessons to teach you when you're in the valley, as well as I have lessons to teach you when you're on the mountaintop. If you're on the mountaintop praising me, I don't want you to be lifted up in pride above others. I'm going to take you down to the valley for a while. And there are lessons in the valley that I'm going to teach you there. God in Christ is always teaching His people and ministering grace and mercy to our lives in Him. Look to Him even this day. I don't know what all the conditions are that are going on in your lives as God's people. But I know this, if you have an intercessor, things are well and going to turn out okay. Amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you.
Amen.
There we go. These supposedly new hearing aids, you can't turn these up. I got $5,000 in my ears and I still can't hear you. The old type hearing aids that when you couldn't hear, well, you could just turn that little button in your ear and you could hear a whole lot better. These don't do that. They're supposed to be improved. It's a joy to be able to preach the riches of Christ, isn't it, Brother Walter?
Amen.
To look at a group of people and give them hope that even though we are surrounded by our imperfections in our prayers, our Bible reading, our getting along with others, to where we just feel we're pretty sorry people, and then God helps us out and then we're filled with pride and then we need more grace. To be able to give our people hope, we that are elders when we preach, that there is a Savior that we can look to, whoever lives to make intercession for our sins. Let's close in prayer. Father, bless your word again today. Thank you for giving us your Son, not only as our example for how to live, obey your word, but how to suffer, how to face death, how to have a hope in the world to come, and how to have a daily hope that we have someone who is alive and ministering to us from your right hand. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.